The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, spying, arrests, corporate dirty tricks and an international trade war are some of the elements of the Huawei story that was making headlines again this week. Google has warned the US government it risks compromising national security if it pushes ahead with preventing the Chinese company from doing business with American firms. But is this Google putting its own interests first, or are there genuine concerns? Adrian Weckler, tech editor with the Irish Independent, was at Huawei headquarters this week. Adrian, the situation with the US and Huawei has taken a bit of a twist. Google is concerned that if it can't do business with Huawei, it might leave the system more vulnerable to cybersecurity breaches than it would have been in the first place.
That's right, Richard. So what Google is saying is that right now, Huawei is utterly dependent on Google for its operating system. And it says that if the ban on Huawei using Google stays in place, that Huawei will develop its own version of Android or its own fork of Android. And that could be that could have more bugs and it could be less secure, and it would give a US company less control over Huawei. So Google's kind of arguing that because it's a US company, if the American government really wants more control in its own national interests, that it should leave the American companies in pole position.
To what extent is this Google making the point for its own economic and financial interests? Because it clearly doesn't want this Huawei ban to go ahead.
No, there are two reasons why Google might make this argument in favor of itself. Number one, Huawei is the third biggest phone company in the world now. It's a major customer for Google. That means that Google sells a lot of advertisements and search-related business every time somebody picks up a Huawei phone and uses one of the Google services. Google has been fighting to get into China for many, many years. I've just returned from China, where I spent the guts of a week, and it's incredibly frustrating not to be able to use Google or Gmail or Google Docs or Google Maps. And that's a long-standing sore with the company. So it has been trying to improve that situation in its own interest, and this doesn't help at all.
Now, as you say, you're just back from China. You spent time at the Huawei headquarters there. Who did you meet?
I met the chief technology officer, a guy called Paul Scanlon, who is Australian. He's not Irish. And I met a couple of other people, including a Donegal man called Joe Kelly, who has risen to become the vice president of communications. It was a very, very interesting trip, because very few journalists actually get in there.
What was it like? I presume the real concerns about Huawei relate to ultimately at some point in the future whether or not the Chinese government or somebody in the Chinese government would instruct somebody at a very high level in the organization to access information. You're not going to spot an awful lot walking around the headquarters, are you?
No, you're not. And I mean, there were a few interesting things about it. First of all, the headquarters itself, the way it's laid out, they've just built a giant new European-themed focus. So you walk through and there are 14 different giant buildings like castles that are themed after different countries, Italy, Germany, other countries in Europe, France, Italy. There are engineers walking around that you could kind of be in Google or Facebook in the States the way they're walking around. But you're right, the chief accusation thrown at the company is that this is somehow some kind of nexus for control by the Chinese state over the world's telecommunication systems or 5G networks, and maybe worse. In particular, a worst case scenario painted is that in future, if things get bad between China and the rest of the world, that it could somehow leverage its power over Huawei to either switch off some critical sections of 5G mobile networks, or there might be some sort of backdoor into those systems. Now, I spoke to the chief technology officer, who's probably the most senior technical guy in the company. He, as you would imagine, denies that absolutely outright. We spoke for several hours, and he brought me through several technical charts showing me how and why that couldn't and wouldn't be done.
So, does he feel hard done by, Adrian?
He does. I did get a sense, talking from everyone I spoke to there, that there is a real feeling of resentment among Huawei workers, and actually among some other Chinese people I spoke to. They see it very much in political terms. They see it very much in geostrategic terms. They believe that this issue with Huawei is really just a symptom of a political fight brewing between the US and China, and they think that they're being targeted very unfairly.
Do you think they're being unfairly targeted? Because it's interesting, if you see it as just part of a US-China trade battle, and perhaps Donald Trump will get a better deal on trade and suddenly say everything is fine with Huawei. But Australia, New Zealand and Japan have taken a similar stance to the United States, haven't they?
Somewhat, not quite as robust, but they have essentially rowed in behind the US in spirit in terms of blocking some rollout of Huawei equipment in their countries for telecoms networks. It's very hard, it's still hard to assess where the actual truth lies. You're absolutely right that when President Trump says that this can all go away if the US and China sign a trade deal, that does make you a little bit cynical as to the intent, the actual intent of the American government, whether it really does believe it's a security threat. It's also very interesting that GCHQ, which is the intelligence agency attached to the UK authorities, which would be very, very close to the US, they don't really share the same fears. They don't have the same problems as the US. On the other hand, in the week that I spent in China, there is no question that it is very, very different society. It's structured very, very differently. It's very hard to find news, for example. It's very hard to find out any information about things that we would consider important, like the Tiananmen Square anniversary. So, if
do people know about that over there, Adrian? People you spoke to, do they know about it?
They don't. I mean, I spoke to anyone I spoke to under 30 just had no idea. They didn't. There was one person I spoke to who had seen a film about it that she shouldn't have seen. But I scanned the newspapers daily. There's absolutely nothing about it. You can't get access to most Western significant apps like Facebook or Google or Twitter. There's a very, very different culture over there. And I think the Americans are kind of playing on that, because there is definitely an issue there in terms of freedom. There is a problem there. And so I think the Americans are sort of leveraging that to take it to, you know, one on one maybe equals three, to say that if that's the kind of society it is, then okay, of course that they would use their biggest company to try and hack us.
Well, Adrian Weckler, technology editor of the Irish Independent, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.